The subject that Trenton asked to have as a study was Once Saved, Always Saved, a doctrine that is familiar and yet not familiar, a doctrine that is in a number of our other religious churches. They have that belief. Another term for it is eternal security. That is how it is referred to. It is part of a Calvinist doctrine. And so we want to believe and know the truth. And we want to know what the Bible teaches on these kind of things. And as I was praying about it and thinking, and I still feel inadequate. I don't want you to think I am, but the Lord did give me an inspiration to have it for tonight. So let's just pray that the Lord will bless His Word. I remember when there was a Bible study that was requested concerning women in the ministry, and our thought was, if it is not a doctrine of the Church of God, let's quit it. So that's the same as this. If we cannot prove that this is not what the Bible teaches, then let's believe it. Let's practice it ourselves. And so the Word of the Lord is our rule, and we don't want to have just opinions. We want to know what the Word of the Lord says. I'm going to give you some little information. I wanted to try to find something that was a little bit more current. These numbers come from 2016 and one of them 2014, but I felt like it had merit. And it said that 77% of Americans believe that personal salvation is the result of good works. That's a high percentage of people that believe that. Then it said 52% believe good deeds help earn a place in heaven. So I can earn my way to heaven. 52% believe that. 60% believe that Jesus' death on the cross is the only sacrifice to remove the penalty of sin. That was 2016. And I'm wondering if it would be the same in 2019. I was not able to find that information. The other 2014 was 65% of all Christians believe there are multiple paths to heaven. So in other words, it didn't matter which way you took. It was a very unpopular belief that there is but one true way. And you and I have believed that and practiced that God has one true way to heaven. It is the Bible way, the song says. So what do we believe? It's very important that we believe the truth, and that we not be affected by the doctrines and teachings and beliefs of other religious orders, that we must, and I believe Trenton said that he met this with, can you repeat the reason you wanted it?
At the time, I had recently encountered two people that had, they didn't believe in, they believe once saved, always saved. And so they had, kind of tried to convince me the other way. And so I was wanting something to back up my belief with.
Well, that's the purpose of our study tonight. And you may meet with this. Some of you young people may meet with this. There are so many scriptures, I don't think that you're going to be able to hardly retain it all once I began to study it. Certainly, I did not accept that belief, but I really didn't have the reason, but I do now. So this is what the doctrine, that belief, teaches. And I'm not sure I can word it exactly as it might be taught out there, but it will be close enough that we can get an understanding. But it's, once a person is truly born again, there is nothing that can reverse this conversion. That's part of their foundation of their belief. It is not possible to lose salvation. Not possible. Once you're saved, you cannot lose it. No matter what you do in life, no matter the life you live, you're going to be saved because you made this decision one time. There, we know that some of you may not be too familiar, but Billy Graham was a very well-known religious figure. And if anyone has ever had any contact to even listen to any of his messages, when he first started out, he was one of the most powerful preachers that I had about ever heard. I don't know if any of you have, I'm not telling you to go and search it out and listen to it now, but one day I was listening to some of the older, his first messages. He was so strong on the Word of God. And I skipped on down and began to pick up some other messages later, and then other messages even later. And there was such a vast difference from where he began and what he believed and how he taught to what he ended with. That concerns me about us, that we not be the same way, that we not be strong in the doctrines in the beginning, and then we get them watered down, and then pretty soon we're just hardly have a foundation to stand on. So this kind of a doctrine has a principle with it that gives room for sin to be in a person's life and still be saved. And so this was another aspect of this doctrine. It also teaches that it opens, no, someone made a comment on this. It opens the door to continue living a sinful life while professing salvation. And then it has an or. Actually, if any of you have read Brother Michael's paper in April, he dealt with this subject a lot in his paper. I did use some of these comments came from his paper. It says, or if a religious group, I paraphrase this one, sees that the sinful life as a backsliding, they have an excuse then for it. And what they say is, and just recently I was in the car, had the radio on. I really wasn't paying attention, but it was a man speaking on this subject. And this is what he said. He said that if they do backslide after they have been saved, they believe that that individual was never saved to begin with. That's their I'm going to say excuse for backsliding. Well, they didn't have it to begin with. So that's sort of the background or the foundation to it. And when we search the scriptures, we generally do not search, I don't search the scriptures to confirm or denounce the doctrinal teaching that they have. I confirm it from the principle of what we teach and what we believe. And I mean, some of the scriptures that they use to confirm or say that is the truth, eternal security or a sin, once saved, always saved, or sin you must, can't help it, those kind of things. I look at the word, and even what is given to confirm it, I still believe it,
yes.
Like the word says. In other words, here's one of the scriptures. If you want to turn with me to John, the 6th chapter, and I'm not going to give a lot of scriptures that is a standard to confirm it, because we believe what the word says. The 6th chapter, starting at verse 37, and it goes through 40. 37, and Jesus is saying this: all that my Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Well, you see, they're taking this and making it in such a way that if you come to him one time, that there's just no way in the world that he will cast you out. Well, we believe this scripture. If I come to him, he in no way will cast me out. On that word right there. And the next verse says, for I come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me. Here's the little key words are in here. Every one that he's given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. We will confirm these scriptures, but in a way of truth. And then verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Well, we have knowledge that they will say all you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. There's more to just believing. There is a plan that God has. Jesus, if that's the case, then him dying on the cross was in vain. If we only have to believe, but we have to also apply or appeal to the blood to cover my sins. So we're not going to go too much on in that, but this also bleeds over into infant baptism. There's people out there that they will say, well, I was baptized when I was a baby, so. But we know what the word says about baptism. And when we are baptized, the minister that is baptizing will say, upon the confession of your faith, a baby is innocent. A baby cannot confess or profess faith until it's come to the age of accountability, until it understands and it knows whether it's done right or wrong. Up until that time, that baby is just as innocent as the pure saint of God. And that baby, if it should die, is going to go right on to heaven. Thank the Lord. So that's just a little part that I wanted to insert there, that they are connected, because there are people that trust in their infant baptism as being their salvation. So I have some questions. Can you fall from grace once you have received grace? Can someone backslide? Because this all has to do with once saved, always saved. And is the word backslide or backsliding in the scripture? I do want an answer. What?
I thought somewhere else read backsliding.
In the Old Testament, does it say he would heal their backsliding?
It does. But there's a lot more about backsliding in the Word of God. And I challenge us to take that home and study it in your private study. We're not going to make that our study necessarily tonight, but it will connect with it. So, can you fall from grace once you have received grace? What? Just a minute.
The Apostle Paul spoke about that. I mean, I don't remember where the scripture is, but he spoke of being lost after he had preached to others, of being lost himself. If the Apostle Paul was concerned for his eternal salvation after having ministered to thousands of people.
What he actually said was, lest when I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. That's his words. So Paul recognized that even though he was ministering to the people, and it doesn't matter what minister it is, the enemy does have a target. Ministers can fail. And don't ever trust in a minister. You trust in the Lord. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So don't ever follow a minister just to be following that person. Don't have confidence. I want you to have confidence, but don't have a confidence that will supersede your confidence in the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Trust in His Word. Put it to the test. The scripture says for us to try the spirits. If you try a spirit and you feel that the Lord is manifesting something is not right here, that's for your protection. It's not for you to get up and tell everybody. It's for you to protect yourself. So we can conclude in the beginning of this Bible study that you can fall from grace once you've had grace. You can backslide. God wants to heal the backslider. And the word backsliding and backslide, that is in the scripture a number of times. So you might study it sometime. So as we prove this teaching or this doctrine that it is possible to lose one's salvation, we're going to use scripture that indicate that there is a falling away. Or it may be just a scripture that warns us that we could fall away, which would mean the same thing. If there is a warning against falling away, then it would be possible for us to fall away. So I found, and I'd like for everyone to get your Bibles now and let's wait, like Sister Irma said, and read these scriptures and have them on the tape. I mean, I could read them, but I do like participation. And if you don't mind, I may call on you. So I'm starting with the Old Testament. So if it's in the Old Testament and if it's in the New Testament, don't you think that pretty well establishes it? If it was just in one and not the other, we might say, well, maybe we're not interpreting it just right. But I think it is so plain in the scripture. So the first scripture is going to be Ezekiel. And if you'll speak up and say, I'm taking that verse, or just say, I'll take it or something, so that I think Caden, could you come up here and stand a little bit in the middle so that you're quick right in there. That'll be a good place. Ezekiel 18 and 24. First scripture. Okay. Ezekiel, and then the one that took that one, I want you to skip on down to verse 26. And actually, I may turn and read some other scriptures past that to save a little more time. Okay, the one that took that is also going to do 26. Ezekiel 3 and 20. Okay. Another one is Ezekiel 33, 18 and 19. Okay. That's going to be our Old Testament scriptures concerning this subject. So the first one, Ezekiel 18, 24 and then 26. Okay.
But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die.
Verse 26.
When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die.
Okay. What have we read?
Evidence.
Okay. What does it mean when someone turns away from their righteousness? Is that not backsliding? Can we conclude that with this passage? That there is a person that was saved. They were righteous. And they turned away from it. And the word of the Lord says that even their righteousness that he hath done shall not even be remembered. Now, how can we logically say that person would have eternal security? Or they were once saved and they will not have to worry about it the rest of their life. We can't say that, even with this scripture. Now let's go to the next one. Oh, I'm going to read, let's see, that was on 26. It speaks about a wicked man. A wicked man that turneth away from his wickedness. So somebody that has backslidden, let's say. Is there hope for the backslider? There is. There may be scriptures that people will use that sounds like there's no hope once you've backslidden. But there is hope. This one is one of them. The wicked man, he turns from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right. He shall save his soul alive. Pretty plain. And if you read on down even to verse 32, there's just a number of scriptures in there. We don't have time tonight to do all of these scriptures, but it's very plain. Okay, let's go to the next.
It shows the mercy of God.
It shows the mercy of God. What does come to your mind when we say it shows the mercy of God? What does the word say? His mercy endureth forever. His mercy is new every morning. His compassions fail not. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. This is familiar to all of us. But we don't presume upon his mercy, and we don't presume upon his compassions. There is a way for you and me to be saved and have eternal security.
Yes.
Does that sound like I'm crossing my lines?
Truth.
I believe God wants you and me to have eternal security. His way. Not because I can sin today a little bit and tomorrow I'm going to feel justified. No, we must be justified in his grace all the time. And we can be. And there is a way. And I hope that by the end we will see there is a way. We don't, the world, these other religions, they think that we're just hard-nosed. But there is a way. Okay, the next scripture was Ezekiel 3 and 20.
Okay. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand.
Yes. This to me is a very serious passage because it refers to actually the ministers. Called ministers are to preach a word that comes from his mouth. And we have to preach what the word of the Lord gives. And it warns. And I have said to the congregation here down through the years many times that my calling is to the saints. My calling is to warn the righteous that they sin not. Now, why would the Lord have that in his word if it wasn't possible for someone to be righteous and fall from their righteousness? If he didn't put it in there and say, that was a commandment. You warn the righteous that they sin not. That's been my burden. That's been, and maybe I said, I was talking to Dan the other day, and maybe I was just sort of grieving a little bit. I said, I would like to preach some encouraging messages once in a while. But it seems like that it's always just warn, warn, warn. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. But I do. I would like for the Lord to give me something sometime that would just sort of lift your hearts up a little bit. Well, I have to preach what he gives me. And that's the reason why. So, the righteous man can fall. And don't believe otherwise. Now, let's go to the next one. Ezekiel 33, 18 and 19. Who had that one?
I did.
Okay.
When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby.
Yes. So we have it there again. If a man fails the grace of God, he can be restored. He can be renewed. God has the power to save us. And to, what about the scripture over there? This one just came to my mind about the potter and the clay. Wouldn't that almost fit right here? And the potter was working with the clay and the clay marred in the hands of the potter. What's that? Isn't it the same thing? And what did he do? It said that he made a new vessel. So God is able to help us if we fail. Thank the Lord. Be encouraged tonight. You don't have to backslide. If you have a failure in your life, you don't have, and that's what I want to end with tonight, is that God is able to keep us. And this is how he keeps us. Okay, now let's go to the New Testament. And I'll just paraphrase, or I'll read some of this. It's in Matthew, the 25th chapter, and it's very familiar. We've spoken on this a number of times of late, of the five wise and the five foolish, but I'm going to be looking starting at verse 8 to 12. And so I will read that part, because it starts out with the foolish where I'm reading. And the foolish said, now let's back up just a little bit. What were these called that we're reading about? Virgins. It represented a child of God, a child of the King. They had oil. Oil represents what? 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 Holy Spirit. They had the Holy Spirit. And so time went on, and they slumbered and slept, and something happened to the foolish. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. What does that mean? Is that not a failure? Isn't that like backsliding? And they're down at the end of their life. I tell you, the Lord wants us to be awake and alert. And the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. I can't give you salvation. I can't make you have the Holy Spirit. You have to do all of that for your own soul. And it said, but go and gather, go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. And while they went, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward, these virgins came saying, Lord, open to us. They were lost. We must not fall under eternal security in the wrong way. You cannot trust in your own righteousness. It's got to be the righteousness of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's go now to another parable. Jesus gave us this one. Let's go to Matthew 13 and we'll look at the sower and the seed. I never thought of the parable of the sower and the seed being a confirmation that one could fail the grace of God, but it does. So we're looking at verses 3 through 9 in chapter 13. And we know the parable that the sower went out, sowed the seeds, did some by the wayside. The fowls came and devoured them. Now, there doesn't show any kind of life there, does it? So the seeds were sown, but it just sounds like that the fowls came down and just took them right then. So they didn't have a chance to germinate or grow or have any life in them. Life would be salvation. But then when it went to the stony places and it didn't have much earth, something happened though. It had enough earth that they sprang up. The seeds sprang up. It had life for a time. And then because it didn't have the deepness of earth, then it withered. And it had no root and it withered away. So that could be someone that just barely got saved and didn't last very long. But they were saved. If the Lord would have come at that moment, they would have been saved. But something happened and they lost it. And then it goes to the next one. And I'm going to skip on down to verses 20 through 22 because Jesus gives the explanation of this parable. So starting at verse 20, but he that received the seed into stony places, see, they received it. So something good happened. And the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy received it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For a while he was saved. It appears to me that he was saved for a while. And when tribulation and persecution came because of the word, he was offended and he backslid. He gave it up. I'm not, I, you know, I, I'm not going to ask for hands. I just want you to sort of think in your own mind. Have you ever given up the Lord in your walk? I'm not asking for anybody to even confess it, but I will. I gave up the Lord many times. In my teenage years, I was proud. I couldn't let this person die. I wanted to be saved. I would try, but it wouldn't last a long time. And then after I married, I thought, oh, now I can live for the Lord. I'm married. And Lauren gave up the Lord. And I want to tell you, if you're here, and I don't know of anybody in this state, and I'm glad right now, it's very hard to live for the Lord if your companion doesn't want to live for the Lord too. Very hard. And consequently, I would give up the Lord for him. See, there's always something that the enemy will try to pull you away. You see, you know what the word says, that there are two masters. You can only serve one. And that's just how it is. But when the Lord saved me, never to give up again, and he brought me to the place that I felt like I could not live this way if my husband was not. And the Lord met me and he said, you can love him all you want, just love me the most. It was my very first victory. I want to tell you, God has a way of helping us to keep saved. But we have to seek for it. So the sower here, something happened and they gave up. And then again, the kingdom of heaven. Let's see. I'm in the wrong verse. I'm in verse 22. Sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. So the next one, he that received the seed among the thorns, is he that heareth the word and cares of this world. Don't we hear a lot about this one? Cares of life. The things that are a distraction to us. And the deceitfulness of riches, it chokes the word and he becometh unfruitful. So those two parts or places of soil, I never really saw it before, but I saw it. It verifies, it supports the doctrine that you can backslide. You can lose your salvation. So the next scripture, 1 Timothy 4 and 1, someone wants to get that. If you'll say it, I've got several I'm going to give now.
1 Timothy 4:1.
Okay. Galatians 5 and 1 and verse 4. Galatians 5, verse 1 and verse 4.
Galatians 5.
Okay. The next one is 2 Peter 2, 20 to 22. 2 Peter 2.
2 Peter 2:20.
Okay. 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 12.
1 Timothy 6:9-12.
Hebrews 3:12-16. Hebrews 3:12-16. Thank you. And the last one is Colossians 1:21-23. Thank you. Okay, now we're just going to read some scriptures and just find what we can find. If this is a true doctrine of the Church of God and the Word of God, then we want to know it. So 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 1. 1 Timothy 4 and 1.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
They're departing from something. Mm-hmm. That's the key word. We read these things and we don't even quite focus on what it's saying. I really hadn't thought of this. I've read this scripture many times. I didn't notice that it was, they're departing from something that they had.
Yeah.
Does that confirm? It does. Let's go on. Time's getting away anyway. Galatians 5, 1 and verse 4.
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Verse 4.
Yes.
Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace.
What's the key words here? In the first verse, it's entangled again. If you weren't redeemed, you wouldn't have to do it again. See? That's the key word. And then, to say that ye are fallen from grace means you did have grace. And now you are fallen from grace. Is this plain enough? Or, I mean, I don't feel like I'm making this up or I'm not adding to it or taking away from it. I believe the Lord wants us to understand the truth of His Word. The next scripture, 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22. And I hesitated to include verse 22, but I think we will. Okay.
For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein.
Again.
And overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb.
Yes.
The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire.
This passage is very clear and, I don't know, impressive.
Sobering.
Should be sobering to us. If after they have escaped. So that's pretty plain, isn't it? They escaped the pollutions of the world so they would be saved. And then after that, they were entangled again. Very plain. But the latter end is what is so serious. I think about that passage, the one that Jesus gave us, about the room that was swept and garnished, clean, but it was empty. And the spirit had been cast out. And the spirit came back to see if it was filled. And he found it empty. And what did he do? He went and he gathered seven more spirits worse than himself, and they filled that place. When you and I are saved and we're pleading the Lord for the Holy Spirit and sanctification, we need to be filled.
Yes.
We need to be filled. But I said I hesitated on that verse 22 because it was a proverb. If you and I know someone right now that is returning to their vomit.
Yes.
I know someone right now. And it's a grief. You know, when we're cleaned up, and to return to that uncleanness. Lord, help us. We don't want to go so fast that nobody has a chance to have a comment. If anyone has a comment, just raise your hand. And I will ask Trenton, is this making it plain to you? Thank the Lord. Let's go to the next scripture, 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 through 12.
But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses.
Yes. The key scripture here is erring from the faith. Yes. Something happened. They erred from the faith. And this particular passage, I mean, gets very plain about people that love money. I could be saved and the enemy try to present a temptation to me to have a love for money. One of those things that could draw me back. It isn't always the entertainments of the world. It can be other things. And it will cause us to err from the faith. Anyone else have a comment? Okay, let's go to Hebrews. I don't want to be so fast I shut you down. Hebrews 3, 12 through 16.
Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God.
Stop just a second. At the beginning of that, what did it say? Take heed what?
Brethren.
Brethren. Who's this talking to? It's talking to us. It's talking to saints. Now go ahead.
But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation.
What is the keys? What would be the key words in that passage, Damon? That would confirm this doctrine. 1st of all, it was
departing
to who?
Brethren.
Brethren. Next, it's a warning to do what? To not do what?
Not depart from the living God.
Not to depart. Now, if it wasn't possible for me to not depart once I was saved, why would that be in the scriptures? A warning to us. Okay, go ahead now. And what would be the next key word? I mean, this one isn't going to necessarily mean I can backslide, but what is the key for me being successful?
Hold the beginning of your confidence steadfast to the end and not be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
We've got to hold our faith and from the beginning steadfast to the end. That's how we're going to be saved. That's how you and I are going to be saved. Now let's go to Colossians 1, 21 to 23, and then we'll try to wind it down.
And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable, holy and blameable and unprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister.
Okay, can you pick out some key words in your reading? Jessica. What are some key words there? One is the continuing. Yeah. We're thinking right now about how do we not fall from grace. We got to continue. We are reconciled. And why? What does the word of the Lord say there? What is he wanting to do to present us how? Holy. He wants to present you and me holy before the Father and unblameable and unreprovable. Isn't that rich? I mean, he plays a big part in my success, in your success. And he wants us to know there's a great danger. You could fall away, but you don't have to. Because I want to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable. But it's if ye continue in the faith, settled and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Those are key words.
So what's a related scripture Jesus said about continuing?
Okay, give it to him.
A related scripture that Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed.
Yes.
And I had a couple other scriptures. One scripture came to my mind. I think it's Jude 21st verse that says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life.
Yes.
Keep yourselves. But on down in that chapter, there's another verse that talks about, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling.
Yes.
And to, well, let's see. Let me find that just a second. The 24th verse, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before
yes.
the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He's able to do that.
He's able. And I want to tell you, he wants you and me to all make it to heaven more than we do. He wants us there. Now, I'm going to read just, I think some of this came from Brother Michael's paper. So if you read it, you'll see some of it. It says, there is scriptural evidence that saved people have the power of choice to turn away from their original faith in Christ and forsake their walk with God through salvation. There is scriptural evidence. And so the doctrine, and I think Brother Michael said this, the doctrine of eternal security is contrary to the Word of God. Now, I want to turn over to Revelations, and we're not going to read for the sake of time, but I'm going to speak to you about how God is so gracious and merciful. And when we have failed, and I think that we all understand when we have failed. I have failed. It's what you do with the failure
yes.
that matters.
Yes.
The scripture says a just man will fall, seven times, but he will arise. We're not looking at sin, you can't help it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the enemy has come in and blindsided you and you had a failure. But I want to tell you, God is a merciful God that gives you and me space. That's the beauty of his salvation. And I do not believe it is presuming upon his mercy or his compassion, because I see it in these chapters of what Jesus said himself to the churches. I'm going to read you some of these verses in the second chapter. It's the part that Jesus is speaking to the churches. You know what he says to every one of them? He says, I know your works. And he tells their good works, and then he says, but I have somewhat against thee. I have something you've got to change. So I'm going to look at chapter 2, verse 5, I believe. And just to get the essence of this, he said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. I mean, that's just another confirmation that you can fall from grace. And then he gives the solution, repent. Yes. So if you have a failure, run to the Lord. Yes. He's not cutting us off. He's not anxious to cut us off as soon as we fail. If you can have a vision of the love of God, of the mercy and compassions of God, that he wants to help us. And it's what you do with that. Now, if you reject his help, that's one thing. But he tells what to do. Run to him and repent. And he says, and do the first works, or else I will come in quickly and remove your candlestick. And then verse 7, he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. And I think that's what we have tonight. I mean, we've heard a lot of scriptures. I have never taught on this. I didn't even know how, except the Lord began to open it up. And I believe he wants us to understand these doctrines and believe them and know that he has grace for us. Now I'm going down to verse 12, different church. And he said the same thing. I know your works, and gave the positive things. And then on down to 17, listen to what he did or said he would do. And he would do it for us. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name. Oh, don't you want a new name? When Paul was Saul, don't you know he appreciated it when God gave him a new name?
Yes.
It meant something else. And he wants you and me to have this white stone with a new name, thank the Lord, written, which no man knoweth save he that receiveth it. When you and I receive a new name, we know it.
Yes.
We understand the Lord has blessed me. He has come and he has upheld me. I want to tell you, I've had some experiences where I thought I had, there was nothing left to do but give up. It wasn't that long after Lauren was saved, and it was a terrible thing that we were going through. You're going to go through some terrible things.
Yes.
But you're going to let it destroy you? I almost did. And I was in tears, and he was in tears over this thing that we were going through. And I just said, there's nothing left for me to do but give up. And he just fell on his knees by the bed and started praying. And that was all I needed to do too. I want to tell you, the scripture says two are better than one. If you have a companion that will pray with you and help you, that's part of your victory. Thank the Lord. But I didn't give up, but I was tempted to. You can be tempted to give up, but don't give up. Amen. Just hold on. The victory will come. Yes. Jesus will come. Thank the Lord. And so that was in verse 17. Now we go on down to verse 18, and it's another church. And it's a terrible thing that was in that church. And I'm not going to go into the details on that. But in verse 21, speaking of that church, because God knew their works as well, but 21, it said, I gave her space to repent. And that's what I'm going to say to you and me tonight. This is our God. And if we fail, he gives us space to repent. I believe it. Yes. I know he has been that way with me. And it's been my salvation. It's been the success. And it's going to be your success as well. So I'm going to give another question now. Can one who was once saved be restored? Well, we've already answered it. And I'm going to give you two scriptures. One is Hosea 14:4, which has already been quoted here. I will heal their backsliding, and I will, listen to the remaining part of this verse. It's so rich. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. Have you got a hold of his love? He wants to love us freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. And Revelations 22:17, whosoever will, what's your will tonight? I want to be saved. I want to make heaven. That's my will. I want to live for the Lord. But it said, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And I have in parentheses, it extends to the backslider. Thank the Lord. Well, that was the little lesson, and I'm thankful that it was suggested, because it made me study it out. I'm thankful for Brother Michael's paper on it. It was a great help in enlightening me. But the Lord opened up a lot of other scriptures as well. I think it certainly is established more so in my mind than ever before.